Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in Romans chapter 15 today, and we are all the way down in verse number 21. And I probably should have read this verse yesterday because it goes along with and supports the verse number 20. So let me just jump back one verse if I can, where it says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel," Paul testifying, not where Christ was named, "lest I should build upon another man's foundation." So remember last episode, we talked about Paul's stated philosophy, how that he wanted to preach the gospel to people that had never heard it even one time, giving them that opportunity. And then he quotes an Old Testament, quotes an Old Testament verse to validate that philosophy. Look at verse number 21. "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." That's Isaiah 52 and verse 15. So Paul was so careful, even as a New Testament writer, didn't have the New Testament. He was part of the formation of the New Testament. He was so careful to take the Bible that was his, which is the Old Testament, and to live by it. How often have we found, even in this book of Romans, that the Apostle Paul comes back to Old Testament quotations or Old Testament scenarios or people like Moses or Pharaoh or any number of people, Hosea, we've talked about so many, Abraham, David. So here the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 52. Now, verse number 22, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." So for what cause? So why has the Apostle Paul been hindered from coming to Rome? If he loves them so much, if he wrote this long letter to them, if he's oftentimes wanted to go and see them, what has been the problem? Well, he just told us. The problem is, I just have so much to do in gospel preaching, so many people on the way toward Rome as the gospel advances westward have not heard the gospel. It just wasn't right for me to skip over people to go to you. So although I've wanted to come, although I've endeavored to come, although I've been praying about coming, I've not come yet because I can only be one person in one place. And I'm doing everything I can to get the gospel to that next location, the next location. Wow, that's a pretty good excuse for being late. You know, if your excuse for not getting somewhere on time or getting there when you wanted to be there was, I just had a lot of people to witness to, that's probably a pretty good excuse. You know, that's usually not on the note for why you couldn't do your homework, right? Well, I was just witnessing to too many people. I love the heart of the Apostle Paul. I just love his transparency. I love his priority. And I love his testimony here in this passage. Look at verse number 23. "But now," so I've not been able to, but now, "having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." So what a promise. So the Apostle Paul said, what's hindered me up until now is all of these gospel opportunities on the way. But I feel as if I've done my job. I feel as if I've covered these regions by going to these hub cities. I feel as if it's now time, it's the right timing to go. And I've had this desire for many, many years. And I have fulfilled my responsibility where I am. And so now I'm going to move on and come to you. What that tells us so much. First of all, it tells us that Paul was a man of responsibility, that where I am, I want to be a full and complete witness. I wonder, could I say that? Where I am? Well, where are you? You're in a neighborhood. Are you a full and complete witness? You're in a workplace. Are you a full and complete witness? You're in a family group. Are you a full and complete witness? You see the gospel responsibility? So Paul had a sense of duty. I think that's what he said back in chapter 1. I'm a debtor. He has a sense of duty. But he also, more than that, had great desire. See, duty can only take us so far. It's an obligatory thing. But desire, my desire has been to come and see you. My desire has been to minister to you. My desire is to see the gospel advance beyond. So Paul is just sharing his heart, both his duty and his desire. Would you look at verse 24? So he says, so whenever I take my journey to Spain, what does that tell me? That tells me that Paul wants to get the gospel beyond Rome. Look at a Bible map, but look at a modern map and see where Italy is. See where Rome is on the western coast of Italy, and then see that the Mediterranean continues to head westward until it spills out narrowly into the Atlantic, right by the Straits of Gibraltar. Well, there's Spain. There's Spain. The northern part of the Straits of Gibraltar, there's Spain. The southern part is Morocco, separation of Europe to Africa. Paul said, I want to go all the way to Spain. And what's really interesting about that is in that world, the Mediterranean was the sea. It was thus, in fact, sometimes it was called the sea. And the Atlantic was the great unknown. There wasn't a Christopher Columbus yet. They didn't know there was land beyond the horizon. So the Atlantic, that was the end of the world for them. So you could say in a very real sense that the Apostle Paul was like, I want to get the gospel to the end of the world. I want to go as far as I can go with the gospel. Lord, as long as you'll give me breath, as long as you'll give me strength, as long as you'll give me vision, as long as you'll make a way, I want to keep on going with the gospel. Now, there's debate. Did the Apostle Paul ever get to Spain? Probably not. Now, we don't know all that happened between the first and second Roman imprisonment, but probably not. But isn't it refreshing that this was his desire to accomplish this, to go there? I think it's healthy that as believers, we have active vision. I think about my dear, dear friend, Dr. Don Sisk, who is 91 years of age, or just about that. His birthday's coming up here in a few days. And wow, just great unbounded vision for the gospel. And let's go forward. That's the way I want to be. I want to have that vision. Look at verse 24 again. So whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. You're just going to be a stopping place. I'm not going to come and rest and retire. I'm going to come and spend time, and we're going to help each other. It's going to be mutually beneficial, but I am just going to be there for a season. So I'm going to come by you to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Interesting, the Apostle Paul said, so here are the two things that we're going to accomplish when I stop to see you. Number one, in the limited time that we have, you're going to help me get to the next place. So Paul was reminding them of their responsibility as a local church to make sure that they bring forward the gospel. So when itinerant preachers, missionaries would come through, you can read all about this in the book of 3 John. Really, it was a gospel principle in the first century, and that was that if someone's an evangelist or a church planting missionary, an apostle, then we ought to help them go forward on their journey. We ought to meet their needs, cover their expenses while they're in town, get them to the next place, Let's move the gospel forward. Not always can we go, but we can help those that do go. I think our modern missions program is a good indicator of that, that we can't always go to Africa or to Honduras or to Thailand or to Germany, but we can help those that do. And I think sometimes in our world, we can't take those short-term mission trips that give us a burden for those places. So the Apostle Paul said, one of the purposes for my stopping there is that you might help advance the gospel financially and physically to get it to other places. And then he says, and I want to be filled with your company. I am longing for the fellowship, the camaraderie, the gospel symbiosis that takes place when we're together. Paul loved people. And Paul always viewed the ministry as just that. It's people. It's not about a fancy auditorium. And I'm all for people that have a fancy auditorium. It's not about the activity. It's not about the venue. It's about the people. It's about the people. And I can't wait to be filled with. That's what satisfies me. That's what fills my cup, with your company. And I think that's a great reminder for you and me as well. As we go to church, a primary purpose of church is that, hey, we help each other on our journey, right? Spiritually, sometimes physically, but that also we're filled with each other's company so that that mutual edification and that symbiotic fellowship is going to strengthen us as we separate again, like we do when we come on Sundays and go back into the world on a Monday and make a difference. So I hope that helps practically. We'll end there in verse number 24 for today. We'll come back to verse 25 next episode. We might try to just go ahead and finish the chapter if we can. But until then, thanks for joining us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.